This is the Sangamon Story, selected readings from Francis Grierson's The Valley of Shadows. I'm your narrator, Kirk Lawhead. Grierson's book chronicles his childhood, growing up on the prairies of Illinois, in the years leading up to the Civil War. It was a volatile region that was neither north nor south, neither for slavery nor against it. His book tells a story of slavery and abolition, and how their small family farm became an unexpected stop on the Underground Railroad. Originally published in 1909, The Valley of Shadows received some critical acclaim, but was quickly forgotten and has fallen into obscurity. Let's begin our journey through the Valley of Shadows. Proem. In the late 1850s, the people of Illinois were being prepared for the new era by a series of scenes and incidents which nothing but the term mystical will fittingly describe. Things came about not so much by preconceived method as by an impelling impulse. The appearance of Uncle Tom's Cabin was not a reason, but an illumination. The founding of the Republican Party was not an act of political wire-pulling, but an inspiration. The great religious revivals and the appearance of two comets were not regarded as coincidences, but accepted as signs of divine preparation and warning. The settlers were hard at work with axe and plow, yet in spite of material preoccupation, all felt the unnameable influence of unfolding destiny. The social cycle, which began with the Declaration of Independence, was drawing to a close, and during Buchanan's administration, the collective consciousness of men, that wonderful prescience of the national soul, became aware of impending innovation and upheaval. It was impossible to tell what a day might bring forth. The morning usually began with new hope and courage, but the evening brought back the old silences, with the old unsolved questionings, strange presentiments, premonitions, sudden alarms. Yet over and around all, a kind of subconscious humor welled up, which kept the mind hopeful while the heart was weary. Dressed in butternut jeans and swinging idly on a gate, many a youth of the time might have been pointed out as a likely senator, poet, general, ambassador, or even president. Never was there more romance in a new country. A great change was coming over the people of the West. They retained all the best characteristics of the Puritans and the settlers of Maryland and Virginia, with something strangely original and characteristic of the time and place, something biblical applied to the circumstances of the hour. Swiftly and silently came the mighty influences. Thousands labored on in silence. Thousands were acting under an imperative spiritual impulse without knowing it. The whole country round about Springfield was being illuminated by the genius of one man, whose influence penetrated all hearts, creeds, parties, and institutions. People were attracted to this region from Kentucky, Missouri, Indiana, the shores of the Ohio, the British Isles, France, and Germany. Other states had their special attractions. Indiana, Kentucky, and Missouri contained hills and forests, appealing to the eye by a large and generous variation of landscape. Iowa and Kansas sloped upward toward the west, giving to the mind an ever-increasing sense of hope and power. To many, Illinois seemed the last and the least, because the most level. Only a poet could feel the charm of her prairies. Only a far-seeing statesman could predict her future greatness. The prairie was a region of expectant watchfulness, and life a perpetual contrast of work and idleness, hope and misgiving. Across its bosom came the covered wagons with their human freight, arriving or departing like ships between the shores of strange, mysterious worlds. The early Jesuit missionaries often spoke of the Illinois prairie as a sea of grass and flowers. A breeze springs up from the shores of old Kentucky or from across the Mississippi and the plains of Kansas, gathering force as the hours steal on, gradually changing the aspect of nature by an undulating motion of the grass until the breeze has become a gale, and behold the prairie a rolling sea. The pennant-like blades dip before the storm in low, rushing billows, as of myriads of green birds skimming the surface.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?